we welcome that President Biden actually mentioned and, you know, acknowledged the human rights abuse.
China critics sound off. It's Monday, November 22nd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascio in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Afghan toddler reunites with mother. U.S. promises more vaccine doses. Australia gets tough on tobacco. Cycling through change in Pakistan. Reviewing the week in space. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The video conference between U.S. President Joe Biden and Chinese leader Xi Jinping was lauded as a step forward in the country's relationship. Xi called Biden an old friend, and Biden said he hoped the two could work together on climate change and other challenges. But some critics of Beijing in the U.S. were hoping for more. VOA's Laurel Bowman has that story.
U.S. President Joe Biden and Chinese leader Xi Jinping held a virtual meeting, a three-hour talk covering a range of issues, but producing little in terms of concrete outcomes. Both sides called it a step forward in U.S.-China relations. But critics say they were looking for more, especially human rights activists focused on China's treatment of Uyghurs in the country's northwest, its clampdown on democracy in Hong Kong, its threatening posture regarding Taiwan's semi-autonomy, and its repression of Tibet.
We welcome that President Biden actually mentioned and, you know, acknowledged the human rights abuse in those regions and in those places. But we certainly expect more than mere acknowledgement, and we really want real action from the President Biden administration.
We always see from the press release given by the White House was that there was a friendly dialogue. A lot of issues have been mentioned, but then we don't see any concrete actions or promises made by the two world leaders.
Others said they just like to see both sides get along.
Yeah, I hope like we will have a better relationship, like for more business between the Chinese and the United States.
Beijing is set to host the Winter Olympics beginning in February, and some critics of China hope that this will be a leverage point for countries to show their displeasure with the People's Republic.
We just read the news that the U.S. government and Biden are going to announce a diplomatic boycott of the Beijing 2022 Olympics. I think it's we certainly welcome this move, and I urge the world, other countries' leaders to join this initiative.
The Biden administration has not finalized plans on a possible diplomatic boycott, but several U.S. lawmakers have said they won't be attending. Laurel Bowman, VOA News, Washington.
Find more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. The International Olympic Committee says Chinese tennis player Peng Shui has taken part in a 30-minute video call from Beijing with Olympic officials and told them she was safe and well. It appears to be Peng's first direct contact with sports officials outside China since she disappeared from public view on November 2nd. She made a sexual assault allegation against a former member of the Communist Party's ruling committee. The IOC says the call was with its president, Thomas Bach, Athletes Commission Chair Emma Turho, and IOC member Li Lingwei, who's a former tennis official. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. China reduces ties with Lithuania in Taiwan spat. Vietnam puts high hopes on RCEP trade deal. Relatives of COVID-19 dead question Japan's recover-at-home policy. Vietnamese workers at Chinese factory in Serbia cry for help. Malaysian Prime Minister's party wins big in bellwether state polls. Get full coverage on all these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. Thank you for listening to VOA Asia on this Monday. Thousands of Afghans flocked to the Kabul airport in a desperate bid to escape Afghanistan after the Taliban took control on August 15th. 18-month-old Farzad arrived with his parents, who handed him across the barbed wire to an American Marine. VOA's Noshaba Ashna reports on the reunion of Farzad and his mother after 43 days, as well as her husband, who is still hoping to flee Afghanistan.
The father of 18-month-old Farzad worked for the U.S. Embassy in Kabul. After the Taliban took over Afghanistan, Farzad's family raced to Kabul airport in hopes of being evacuated from the country.
Since my husband's life was in danger, we left our house and headed to the airport because we heard that Americans were evacuating people who worked with them.
U.S. Marines moved the children inside the airport to shelter them from the high heat and the huge crowds at the gates. Farzad's uncle Ahmad Zawarzada, who was also trying to get his family out, says Farzad was one of the children lifted over barbed wire.
The Marines asked us to give them our children so that they move them to the other side of the gate in the airport. We handed them three of our family's children.
The two families entered the airport 3 hours later and were reunited with two of the three children. But baby Farzad was nowhere to be seen.
After 3 hours of trying to get in, we finally succeeded. After searching for the kids, we found two of them. One of them was my little daughter, and the other one was my niece. But despite efforts, we failed to find the third child.
Farzad's father went back outside the airport looking for his son.
When we lost our son in the airport, my husband left the airport to look for him. He would show my son's photo to everyone, hoping to find him. My husband stayed back to search for my son.
The two families made it out of Afghanistan to a camp in Qatar, leaving a father in search for his son in Kabul, an irony that still puzzles Wahida.
We were leaving my country because my husband's life was in danger. But at the end, it was my husband who stayed back and my son disappeared. Farzad's father is still at risk in Afghanistan.
For 17 days, the 18-year-old mother did not know her son's whereabouts or well-being.
I was feeling as if I were dead too. It's very difficult for a mother.
That all changed in a Qatari camp when the family received a message.
We hadn't been in communication with anyone in those 2 weeks. After 15 days, when I connected to the newly installed Wi-Fi in the camp, the first message that I noticed was from some folks in Norway. Their message said that Farzad was with them. We were relieved and thankful as they became Farzad's temporary parents.
Farzad stayed in Norway for 43 days while his mother was shifted to a camp in the U.S.
After we arrived in a refugee camp in the U.S., they transported our son from Norway. After confirming he was my child through a DNA test, they gave me my child.
The family resides in Richmond, Virginia, and are now praying for a reunion with Farzad's father, who is still in Kabul, hoping to be evacuated by the U.S. He requested his identity be kept secret for his safety.
I thank the U.S. for reuniting my son with his mother. I miss them a lot and request the U.S. government to include me in this process of evacuation. My family needs me, and I need my family.
For Noshaba Ashna in Richmond, Virginia, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
Still to come on VOA Asia, the U.S. promises to ramp up COVID-19 vaccine production. Happening now in Asia, Japan announced a record $490 billion spending package to cushion the economic blow from the COVID-19 pandemic. The total package, which includes funds that do not lead to immediate spending, will likely reach $690 billion. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Continuing now on VOA Asia, the U.S. aims to raise COVID-19 vaccine production by more than a billion doses in 2022, the Biden administration announced. The intended increase in effort and manufacturing comes as U.S. lawmakers are questioning inequities in global vaccine distribution and vaccination rates among richer and poorer nations. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more.
The U.S. effort to vaccinate the world, providing more than 235 million vaccine doses to over 100 countries to date, with more to come announced Wednesday. Dr. David Kessler, Chief Science Officer, COVID-19 Response Team.
We have proudly donated more doses than all other countries combined. We will continue and must continue to donate more and more doses. Currently, we're donating 1.2 billion doses to the world. This includes the U.S. government's groundbreaking deal to deliver 1 billion donated doses of Pfizer vaccine to countries in need through COVAX.
Even Democratic lawmakers are questioning why the White House has not done more to close the vaccine gap between rich and poor countries. Democratic Representative Rosa DeLauro.
Even as many of us in the United States are receiving booster shots, fewer than 5% of people in low-income countries have received a single dose. By some estimates, many people in low-income nations will not have access to a vaccination until 2023 without significant increases in worldwide vaccine production and distribution.
U.S. health experts say that while vaccination rates in North America and Europe are at about 50%, those rates drop to as low as 10% in Africa. Democratic Representative Barbara Lee.
What is the problem? What's the bottleneck? And are we getting any better with countries where there are, quite frankly, the descendants of Africa? Because once again, we see the inequities in Black and brown countries throughout the world.
Even though the U.S. has delivered 50 million vaccines to Latin America and the Caribbean, lawmakers say the Biden administration's efforts have lagged too far behind. Republican Senator Marco Rubio.
Russia delivered its first vaccines in February of 2021. China made its first delivery in March of 21. And President Biden's administration didn't deliver vaccines until June.
Health experts tell lawmakers the U.S. is just now catching up because of a number of factors. Kevin O'Reilly, U.S. State Department.
It was the priority that we had to give to domestic requirements. Secondly, that we went through rigorous procedures to make sure that anything that we donated was safe and reliable.
One possible turning point for fighting COVID-19 globally, Pfizer announced Thursday it would allow generic drug manufacturers to produce its antiviral pill for lower and middle income countries. Dr. David Kessler, Chief Science Officer, COVID-19 Response Team.
I think we're going to have significant quantities of antiviral. Vaccines plus the antiviral. It's the first time I can sit here and I'm beginning to see a way we can get this under control. Not eliminate, not get rid of the virus entirely.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration began consideration of emergency authorization for that pill this week. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news from VOA Asia. Taiwan held the ceremony to commission the first squadron of its most advanced F-16 fighter, a U.S.-made jet that will strengthen the island's defenses against threats by China. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Welcome back to VOA Asia. Australian public health experts are making new efforts to curb the use of tobacco products, comparing their adverse effects on health to that of asbestos and lead paint. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Australia has led the world on tobacco control, with plain packaging laws introduced in 2012, higher taxes, and graphic public health warnings.
Smoking causes mouth cancer. If it didn't, I wouldn't be needing radiotherapy and chemotherapy.
But campaigners say those steps aren't enough to stop people smoking. Public health experts want to remove cigarettes from supermarket and convenience store shelves. 14% of Australians smoke, according to the government's latest figures. In 1977, 37% of Australians smoked. In an article published Monday in the Medical Journal of Australia, researchers said tobacco use was declining too slowly. Coral Gartner is the director of the National Health and Medical Research Council's Centre of Research Excellence on Achieving the Tobacco Endgame, a government body. She says the availability of tobacco in stores and supermarkets needs to be further restricted.
You know, it's been a very slow road that we've travelled to get to this point. We're at the point now where we think, you know, it's time to start thinking about how long is it really suitable to be just selling this product in a general retail environment. We're not talking about making it an illicit product or banning smoking as such.
Researchers have said that studies in Australia, England, Canada and Hong Kong have shown that half of all adults want tobacco sales to be phased out. In April, the New Zealand government proposed several new measures that would sharply reduce the number of tobacco retail outlets. Government health experts have said that smoking was the leading cause of preventable diseases and death in Australia. The government said it would continue to explore a range of new evidence-based measures to further cut tobacco consumption. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Making headlines in Asia, the Philippines defense chief said on Sunday a military resupply mission for the country's troops stationed on an atoll in the South China Sea will resume this week, after it was aborted last week when it was blocked by the Chinese Coast Guard. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia.
This is Science in a Minute.
A pair of astrobiologists from the universities of Edinburgh and Oxford has written a study that may help in the search for signs of ancient life on Mars. They caution researchers could be fooled by samples that may look like authentic fossil specimens, but are actually created by chemical and not biological means. Scientists have found some evidence that ancient Mars may have once had conditions that could have made it possible for microbial life to exist. Among the goals of NASA's new Perseverance mission is to look for signs of ancient life on the red planet. Study authors say they have identified many of the processes that could produce samples that impersonate simple life forms that may have existed on Mars. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Welcome back to VOA Asia. For girls in Pakistan, getting an education can be more difficult because schools are often located far from home. VOA's Mohammed Saqib brings us the story of a teacher who is trying to help her students solve that problem.
It's rare to see women riding motorcycles and bicycles on the streets of highly conservative and male-dominated Pakistan. But with her family's support, local teacher Sadafnaz is turning heads as she zips through the streets of Sindh province's Goatki on the way to school. Naz says it was her lifelong passion to learn how to ride a motorcycle as a way to feel independent.
Now I can travel anywhere, in any city. I am not at all bothered when I ride around. I can even drive my parents to relatives, and if I need to go to the city, I can do it myself.
Naz, however, does not consider motorcycling solely as a personal interest. She has taught the girls at this Mirpur Matilla school how to ride their bikes to school so that they're not reliant on others.
In the beginning, I would come to school with my father on a bike. My school teachers taught me how to bike, and now I bike both ways. It has saved me a lot of trouble since I live 5 miles away.
The students who bike to school make it in time and return home in time so that they can be helpful at home too.
Naz feels that giving children, especially girls, the opportunity to come to school on their own tackles a major problem in the community.
With kids learning to bike, we have addressed a problem, that of them being late for school because the older members of the family have to go to their jobs and some have to work in farmlands.
Naz's ability to ride a motorcycle in traditional communities where women who venture out alone often face obstacles is a wonder to many locals. Her family and the school's principal, Abdul Karim Bakhsh, have encouraged and strengthened Naz's determination to overcome these challenges.
We listened to them for about 10 to 12 years. Now they have realized that whether it's a girl or a boy, each one has a right to learn to bike. It's benefiting them as well.
Some families initially resisted efforts to teach young girls to ride. However, the principal says many have changed their minds.
Now they say it's okay, but before they would call it as something going against their traditions and that we were spoiling their children, that we were jeopardizing their family's honor. We faced everything of that sort, but now we have arrived at a stage where people have stopped questioning us altogether.
Both Naz and Principal Bakhsh believe that taking this first step is critical for a social or societal change to take hold. In a rural part of the country, the two of them have done just that by giving students, particularly schoolgirls, the opportunity to learn a crucial skill. For Mohammed Saqib in Sindh, Pakistan, Bijan Hamdard, VOA News.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook. Finally on VOA Asia, space junk threatened the International Space Station, forcing 4 new arrivals who came on board to take safety measures. Plus, tragedy struck a space tourist and the longest partial lunar eclipse in nearly 600 years. VOA's Arash Arabasadi reviews the week in space.
SpaceX at long last delivered 4 astronauts aboard a fully automated Dragon capsule that had its launch delayed several times in recent weeks. In that time, 4 astronauts from the would-be welcoming committee returned home to planet Earth, leaving 3 to hug them aboard.
And first through the hatch is going to be NASA astronaut Kayla Barron. Some hugs there. And you can hear the claps inside Mission Control.
The arriving crew features astronauts who are part of NASA's Artemis mission, tasked with landing the first woman and next man on the moon. But the good times were short-lived as a field of orbiting space junk sent astronauts seeking shelter in their docked capsules. This following reports that Russia destroyed one of its own satellites with a missile test.
The test has so far generated over 1,500 pieces of trackable orbitable debris and hundreds of thousands of pieces of smaller orbital debris that now threaten the interests of all nations.
NATO also calling the test reckless. But not so fast, says Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov.
The United States has ignored for many years the initiative of Russia and China to prepare a treaty to prevent an arms race in space.
The testy exchange of words comes as the new crew of the ISS prepares to spend the next 6 months in space. They will host 2 groups of visiting tourists, the first coming from Russia in December. In other news, tragedy befell one of the first space tourists in human history. Tech executive Glenn DeVries, seen here aboard a Blue Origin capsule with actor William Shatner, died in a crash of a single-engine plane. A flight instructor also died. DeVries' death comes a month after he went to space. Finally, on this segment earlier in the year, we saw images of a supermoon. That full moon was the closest of the year, making it look uncommonly large from Earth. In some places, it coincided with a lunar eclipse. By the time you likely see this segment, however, a history-making lunar eclipse lasting about 3.5 hours will have happened as the moon hangs in the shadow of Earth cast by the sun. It will be the longest lunar eclipse in nearly 600 years. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
That's all the time we have on VOA Asia. Make sure to find us on Facebook, VOA Asia, on Twitter at VOA Asia, and on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Gascale in Washington. Enjoy the day.